You are very welcome to another episode of the Sideshow Garden Podcast. I hope you're doing well. I hope you're good. I hope you're having a good day. I hope you're smiling in the great outdoors. Before we get to today's episode, and I genuinely am delighted to have this guy on the line. He's a very good friend. He's a guy who I trust. He's a gentleman. More to the point, he is a pretty talented individual. We know each other mainly through the Garden Media Guild, but also, as you can gather from what I do, shall I call it, for a living, which is a little bit more than just garden, says you. Isn't that always the case that there are a couple of hats on? He also is involved in the design and creation of some wonderful gardens. That other business, let me see. I am due to speak at the Royal, no, in fact, I'm not speaking, I'm hosting the Talks Theatre at the Royal Horticultural Society of Ireland Garden Show. It's the 28th of July at Rusborough House. And you will also find me chairing a talk at the Landscape Show in Battersea Park in London. Tickets are available for that as we speak, but you do have to register, or it's better if you register in advance. And that's in September in Battersea Park in London. Let me play this intro jingle and we'll come back to you just after this.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Sideshow Garden Podcast.
My guest on today's show wears a couple of hats. He has one or two pseudonyms, shall I call it that. Lee, better known as Garden Ninja to some of you online. Lee Burkhill, you are very welcome to the Sideshow Garden Podcast. How are you, Lee?
I'm good, thank you, Peter, and thanks for having me. It's nice to finally chat.
It's nice to finally chat over the telephone rather than in person where we usually meet, which is somewhere that involves beverages of a non-fizzy type, or sometimes fizzy, but containing a percentage number afterwards. Lee, whereabouts are you at this moment in time?
So at this moment in time, Peter, I'm at RHS Tap and Flower Show Build Week. So I'm pretty much on a building site with loads of people wearing high-vis vests, looking a little bit stressed as they're trying to get all the hard landscaping started.
For those of you listening at home, you can gather that Lee is, number one, as he alluded to, he is on site. But number two, his telephone, again, we seem to have it, is a little bit coming in and going. I hope it's okay for you. I hope you don't mind. And I hope you'll stick with us, because this is a story that, you might say, caught my imagination. Lee, what is the garden that, well, actually, let me backtrack it a little bit. For those who don't know you, what is it that you do for a living?
So primarily, I'm a garden designer, but I've also, like you alluded to, wear a few other hats in that I've got a YouTube channel with a number of videos for sort of beginner or newbie gardeners to try and help them take their first steps into the gardening world. So I like to kind of encourage people to start gardening, to take an interest in gardening, and I'm going to help them along the way and make them feel like, even if they don't know what they're doing, that they're enthusiastic enough to start. And I'm kind of there to give them a helping hand, and I create an awful lot of content and all sorts of how-tos in terms of garden design, hints, tips, hacks, grow your own, coming from a place that if I was starting out to garden, what would I need to know to kind of get the best results and to really become inspired to garden. So I'm trying to share that passion really with kind of the world, I suppose. But, garden designer mainly, and then vlogger, jack of all trades blogger is the second hat.
Well, let's sidetrack then into the gardens, which is why you're at Tatton. And I think it's fair to suggest, a little bit like myself, unless you've gone and done the gardens maybe at a higher profile, shall I call it that, without bigging myself up, then you tend not to get asked to do the garden talks, or maybe on another way. In your case, people tend not to take those videos that you do that seriously, or give you that regard and say, well, this guy knows, he knows what he's talking about, and that's why I'm listening to him. What other gardens have you done in the past that others, listeners to the Sideshow, maybe would be aware of, or might better have jumped onto a higher platform?
Sure. So I won a UK-wide competition back in 2016 with the BBC to design a feel-good front garden, and that was my first sort of front garden experience, really. Before that, I was designing for family and friends, people that I knew. It was garden design really back then was just a nice hobby that I was fitting around a full-time job. So I designed at Hampton Court. I did a Manchester themed show garden called Fancy Brew, Take a Pew. It was a little bit tongue in cheek, but very serious in terms of the way that I designed it, planned it, planted it, and I really wanted it to look like a show garden. So that was the very first sort of taste of show garden world. And then what led on from there was quite astonishing. Local radio got in touch. I was on BBC Radio Manchester on the Saturday morning gardening phone-in. And then luckily last year I was approached by a sponsor to design the trade stands at both Chelsea and Hampton Court, which Chelsea won the Director General's Award, which is the kind of the highest award given by the RHS, which is absolutely gobsmacked by that, really. Again, I put so much work into the background of that design, and it was all based on plant explorers. So the people that brought us plants, you know, hundreds of years ago, that went out and hunted them down in the wilds of the world, to trying to sort of educate people and show the story that, you know, we take plants for granted. You can go down to your garden centre and pick up a whole array of stuff. Probably most people don't realise where it originates from. So the whole design was taking people on this like mad hat journey throughout the past sort of 200 to 300 years, showing all these commonplace plants and where they'd come from. So I suppose I've always been about trying to inspire and kind of politely educate people as, you know, gardening is a great thing and it's rooted in a lot of history, but to kind of give that can-do so that people can look at things and take away ideas. And I think it, certainly at Chelsea and Hampton, because we had these sort of different areas of the garden from different plant hunters, whether you liked orchids in a glass house or whether you were a fan of sort of prairie planting or alpines, there was all these little stories joined together so everyone could kind of take a bit and go, you know, I could probably have a go at that at home, or that's a version of that, a cultivar of that plant that I've not seen before and I might try that. So it's all about sort of getting people engaged and using the design, the style of sort of show gardens and garden design to inspire others to have a go.
Because I remember seeing that and I remember thinking in my head, sorry, my phone, for you listening at home, there's a, you probably can't hear it now, it's only in my ears, which now makes it feel like it's slightly imaginary and you think I'm slightly off the charts, but that would be nothing new, you say. But I remember seeing that, and in the Irish way of paying a compliment, I just said in my head, a cheeky little, how did he do that? But I meant that as a compliment to you because, well, we have discussed it of recent on the Sod Show, where I had spoke with Sherry Carman, who had done the APL trade stand, inverted commas, at Hampton in 2018. You should go back and listen to that when you listen at home if you haven't already. This year it's been judged as a show garden. However, she was describing in depth the point at which a trade stand was built like a show garden. And basically she was doing the same thing, but it was being judged as a show garden and not as a trade stand. And the difference between the two. Who was it for, Lee? And without bigging yourself up too much, how good looking was that thing that you created?
It was for Hartley Botanics, who make customised glass houses. So the product is kind of, you know, everyone knows what a glass house looks like. So the mission really was to take what would just be a trade stand and turn it into what I would like to think of as like an immersive show garden. So almost the glass houses don't jump out so much as the actual plantum draws you in. I was asked to commission the design for them amongst a number of other UK design and landscaper teams, all of which were far bigger than me, because I'm kind of like a one-man band. But I think the detail that I went into and kind of that passion to explain the plant in relation to the, obviously, the glass houses where some of them were being displayed, but then to plant up around the glass houses and make it feel like you were in almost like a woodland setting. So I treated it as a show garden. It was obviously my first time at Chelsea, which is huge. A lot of pressure, a lot of nerves, but I just went at it sort of hammering tongs in. This might be the only chance I get to display at Chelsea, especially after just, you know, 2 years before I won a competition to do my first show garden. So I think, in a way, Peter, that pressure was great because it forced me to really, really take it seriously. But also, I think there were a lot of nervous sort of laughs and smiles when I turn up. You know, the garden ninja from Manchester. People were going, how on earth are you here? What are you doing? Do you know, like, I think for most people, it felt like a bit of a risk. And I suppose it was, but, you know, preparation is everything. And I prepared that, you know, down to a T. I had backups of backups and all sorts of different substitutions ready for the worst case scenarios. And just treated it pretty much like a show garden. I wanted to show that I was made of good stuff and that I can compete with others and kind of bring, dare I say, a slightly more enthusiastic, maybe warmer approach to the world of show gardens, which for new gardeners, and then they tell me a lot online, can often feel very distant to the small urban gardens, and feel like there's maybe a bit of a disconnect between what they see and them starting to garden. So I kind of wanted to be a little bit more, come and have a chat, I'll explain, I'll help you, rather than just deliver something beautiful and sort of let someone else man it throughout the week. So I was there all through the week. I was watering it, maintaining it, deadheading it, chatting to people, explaining, getting in Hartley's way most of the week, I think, and distracting people from their beautiful products. But that's how it got the attention of the RHS and the Director General's Award.
Well, let me put in context for you at home. You would be right in remembering you stalwarts, old school of the Sideshow. But in 2016, I interviewed Catherine MacDonald of Landform Consultants. You would know her then at that time for designing the Hartley Botanic Garden at Chelsea on Main Avenue. And the standout quote that I have from Catherine at the time was, if I remember this correctly, asking her how much did that glasshouse cost, and there was a sort of a laugh and a giggle, but in a nutshell, a small yacht was all that I could picture in my head. So to be given or gifted or to be awarded a design like that, irrespective of what title goes above it, is something to be extremely proud of. Let me just sidetrack on to the latest garden, Lee, because this is a little bit what caught my heart, and I'm going to read from manchester.co.uk, and they have Garden in the Memory of Diane Oxbury to Go and Show at RHS Flower Show Tatton Park. You are the designer of it. Just maybe explain to me a little bit for those who are listening across the water on the bigger than the bigger island in the US in Salt Lake City. Who was Diane Oxbury and why maybe did this pull on my heartstrings?
So Diane Oxbury was one of our local weather presenters here in the Northwest. And not only that, she visited Tatton Flower Show way back towards its beginnings. And she was just a really engaging, optimistic character that was always trying to give you the best of the bad news if the weather was rubbish, or, you know, cheering you on because the weather was good. And people really warmed to that. Diane was always at Tatton. So, you know, sadly, she passed away earlier this year, and the BBC and the RHS got together and were like, you know, we want to commemorate this. But they were cautious that they didn't want it just to become a memorial garden, you know, something that's quite maybe macabre and a bit, you know. They wanted to celebrate Diane's life and kind of push forward all their optimism and enthusiasm into a show garden so people could, remember Diane, but B, also feel that sense of sort of the nature that she brought, both the weather and to people that she met at Tatton. So then they got in touch with me, I think it was about March, which, as you all know, Peter, in terms of show garden, that's really late. You know, most of these show gardens are designed at least 9 months before, if not more. Your plants are ordered way in advance. So they got in touch and said, you know, we think you're the designer that can realise this. Can you put together some designs? You know, it's very fast and furious, which I did, and then sort of since then it's just propelled itself forward. And yeah, it's just it's a lovely project to work on, although obviously the subject matter is sensitive and it's, you know, really sad. I've channeled that into, well, if I took all the brightness of Diane and the warmth that she brought to people and the weather, how do I create a show garden that makes people feel that without just looking nice? It has to function, feel, make people want to be able to go and sit in it, feel good, and to sort of pour that out into a show garden that celebrates and encourages. And I think that's really, really important with this one.
I'm reminded, Lee, of a conversation that I had just yesterday with a television producer. And for you listening at home, I don't say this to refer to myself, but just to put something in context that Lee mentioned just there, the difference between a memorial garden and a garden that makes people smile with that memory in mind. And I hope that's a fair way to word that. I hope you understand where I'm coming from on that. But we were talking about the garden in France that I designed and was brought there, a word that you also used to realize. The point of it was that we had a moat of a castle. And I spoke about this at the presentation of the designs to the mayor of the town and to the media of the town in Perron in northern France. And I said, you have a moat which was designed to keep people out primarily too in 1871 around the Franco-Prussian War, then at the start of the First World War, and then again at the Second World War. And it really has only seen, pardon me for the use of this word, but death in between those walls. And now I'm on the cusp of presenting a design to you which will woo people in, which will make people smile, not to forget, but to remember, but more so that you may in time hear the sounds of people laughing. And when I think of my dad, who passed a couple of months ago, my apologies, the one thing that I had said to one of my sisters was, Dad would be deeply upset if he thought that we were all sitting around moping. He would want you to have a pint of Guinness in his honour and a glass of Middleton Very Rare sitting right beside that. And anything other than that, he would have frowned upon had he been sitting beside you. Does that put a little bit of what you're trying to do in context, Lee?
It does. It certainly does. And I mean, I must admit, when I first was asked, I was a little bit nervous, thinking, do you know, this is a big responsibility. There's going to be a lot of focus. How do you take that cheery memory and make it fitting rather than pastiche or a little bit tacky? Because you can go the other way and try to be so enthusiastic that you become annoying, and this design has to sort of dodge the line between being too in your face but also being too subdued. And I'm hoping, given there's only a week and a bit left, that I've managed to do that. And that was kind of the real the nervousness for me, to make sure that it was fitting, but it was design worthy as well, and that it was going to encourage others.
There's a silence here because I'm literally just taking, my apologies, all of this in. And some of that includes my own words and words that I'm not really used to speaking about in this case. What is the garden to be, Lee? What will people see? And I'm a big believer in, be it ye olde fables of the little people playing music underneath the flowers, that you can sometimes, as grown-ups, we tend to not be able to see that, or we grow out of being able to see that with our eyes closed. But as sure as I might give analogies to Sideshow listeners of falling in love and what music is playing in the background and setting the scene, what have you got on the table? What will people see? I mean, I know there's an illustration of a garden that exists, but that doesn't explain maybe what's in your head sometimes best.
Yes. So the garden's really, it's comprised of three areas. And the main focus is an arbour. So I knew that, given Diane's background in meteorology and weather, that we needed somewhere that wasn't just like bright and sunny when the weather was out, but you could sit in if the weather was a bit, you know, if it was rainy, for example. So the first part was to come up with this arbour that would allow you to sit and take sort of rest and retreat in the garden. Not just an arbour where you feel boxed in. I stripped out the sides on the template design that I came up with, because I wanted you to be able to reach through and touch the flowers and the borders. So if you were sheltering from the rain, you sort of felt like you were in the border. If it was sunny, you'd have the breeze coming through. And the arbour is kind of the central hub of the garden. That's the real draw. It's been hand-built by a local carpenter. I've had an awful lot of community involvement from people offering their services and their skill to help realise the design in a relatively short space of time. So the arbour is the main draw. We've then got sort of a small potting bench area with seedlings, sunflowers, which the local school children have grown, that will be blended amongst the other show garden planting. So we've got that community involvement, we've got the arbour. We've then got Diane's roses. So Friars Roses have named a rose after Diane, which she's going to feature in the garden, so that people can take away a part of the garden as well afterwards if they choose to buy one of these, and it can live on in their own garden. So there's sort of three really lovely aspects, functions to the garden. And then I've wrapped that all up in a really hot, bright, what I would call prairie planting style. So we're in July, the weather's going to be hopefully lovely. My preferred planting palette is hot colours. It kind of go against the grain compared to other designs that tend to avoid the orange, the yellow, because they're a bit brash. But for this, it's like, this is perfect for me because these are my brash colours. And I'm going to hopefully set this garden metaphorically on fire with all these plants and the grasses and the roses. We've got a medlar fruit tree, which is like a really, really old, almost ancient fruit tree. We'll work that in there as well. So we're taking standardised things like fruit trees, like roses, and I'm going to display them in a way that's different and that really brings sunshine, which is the name of the garden, the Sunshine Garden, but it's going to sort of pop out and make people want to come over, have a look, ask questions, imagine how they could do it, and just feel like they're almost having a holiday within a holiday, I suppose. You know, they're coming to the show, they're wanting to look at this garden and go, oh God, I could spend all afternoon just sitting in there or growing my own plants on the potting bench or picking fruit, you know, just cutting flowers. There's all different sort of daydreamy activities, I would say, that I've been able to go to town with on this garden. Kind of the gloves are off a little bit with this one. It's a small space, which I love because that's my, you know, my clientele really are small and awkward urban gardens, rooftops, terraces, difficult gardens. And this will show people just what you can do in a small garden and the different features. And the features can be scaled up or down. You know, you don't have to have a custom-built handmade arbor. You can buy one off the shelf and use that. So I'm trying to take design principles and a bit of wow factor, but not to the point where people find it unobtainable. I want them to say, well, I could, it'd be great to see bits taken away and ideas and see them in other people's gardens. And that's, in a nutshell, what I've tried to do with this design.
How big of a plot are you working on, Lee?
So I'm working on a 6 metres by 4 metre plot, which is roughly the size of a small garden. So particularly in Manchester, if you look at those old terraced houses, and semi-detached, you wouldn't be far off. If you imagine the size of that, the size of this garden.
I know you have maybe a lot of people helping behind the scenes, but in a similar way to the garden that, well, again, without referencing Peter for Peter's sake, but I know we had a beg, borrow and almost steal, I say, sort of philosophy to piecing it together at Cardiff. Have you had much help in that department?
I have. It's always tricky with a show garden because, you know, you might be lucky enough to have one main sponsor that gives you carte blanche, probably very rare. With this garden, the RHS have provided some funding that goes towards it. We've also had like the carpenter that's built the arbour, who's from Wigan up north. He's given all of his time for free, so I've just paid for the materials. Planting has been done at cost by our wonderful plant suppliers, Bernard's Plants. Got Jackson's Fencing that provided the fencing, Kentstone that provided the granite, and all these either individuals or companies have given either the time or the materials to make this happen in such a short space of time. And what's lovely about it is they've really got on board with the ethos of the design, the brightness, the fun, the memory, obviously, of Diane, but in taking it forward as look what we can do. And if we can put smiles on faces and put happier memories at the forefront of people's minds, especially people that might be struggling with their own loss, their own grief, well then, the jobs are good in. So there's been a lot of involvement. The BBC have been incredible. They've just been really positive, engaged. They've trusted me when I've kind of pulled back some of their ideas or pushed some others forward, which is great as a designer, because what you don't want really is to be so constrained by lots of different requirements that you end up with a pick and mix garden, which is the worry when there's so many people that want to get their influence across as to how they remember, say, Diane, what they think the garden should be. But it's been a really good group effort to storm like the mood board side of things. But then when I've condensed it into what I think is a successful design, they've gone, yeah, we trust you with that and we get it. Off we go. And yeah, just can't wait to start now, really.
For those of you who are unaware, I have been to Tatton. Isabel Coulter is a former guest of the show. She's also the show manager there now. She was deputy show manager at the time. One of my favourite interviews that came out of that was when they did Bust Up Boulevard in 2017, I believe. And If Oldham, very good friends of the show, were there. It is an eclectic show, to say the least, and I mean that for all of its endearing qualities. It's got all of the talks teeters. Helen Bone will be there with the floral marquee. The backup behind the scenes is absolutely phenomenal, and I should add that I was in one of the most expensive hotels that you could ever afford to stay in during my time there. I jest in saying that it was at the side of a truck stop, and and it cost less than £40 per night to stay there, including breakfast, complete with a 24-hour fast food takeaway place. Lee, are we on par with our taste in accommodation?
We're brought to up north. We have a plethora of different accommodation styles. But yeah, you can get some good deals. And I think I'm always more of a mind to spend money on the day out rather than the accommodation. So it rings true.
For those of you who are aware, and you would have heard myself and Ed Burnham speak about our accommodation during Cardiff, it's not that we didn't wish for the most salubrious surroundings. It's more that when on a garden build budget of a timeline that takes approximately 2.5 weeks, the coffees, the teas, the breakfast, lunches and dinners tend to add up. And it's better logically that that money goes into the garden rather than into the roof over your head. Who's working alongside you, Lee?
We've got Morrison Ball as a landscaper. She's a northern-based landscape team. They've done a number of show gardens here at Tatton, and I've worked with them before in a number of other sort of private client pieces. Really hard working, great to get on with, know everyone, and again, they're doing this at like a real bare minimum rate, basically just to put food in their stomachs, I think.
Are you still there, Lee? We seem to have...
Yes, I'm still here.
You're still here, just checking. Well, there doesn't seem to be any change from the norm then in what show garden building is. For those of you listening at home, again, RHS Tatton Park takes place. Let me just find this. It's the 17th to 21st of July 2019. You should go there. It is a wonderful experience. It is where I met Cookie Boy of Cook's Garden Centre, Rob Hardy, Hampshire Carnivorous Plants, amongst others. It is also where we interviewed the prison service at one point in time, where they created a garden there. And also, I should add, it is also where a very young then Warnes McGar made their, to me, debut. It's also home, I should add, to the Young Designer competition. That is always, considering we've had Caitlin McLaughlin, Max Harriman was also on as well, Will Williams, another former guest of the show. All of these guys are young designers, and it is where you will start to see the up and coming start to make their way through, and some things that just stand out for all of the right reasons. But above all things, it is literally up there with my favourite. As day of recording goes, Lee, we're day one of build of the show, and by the time people hear this and maybe get to see the garden created, it will be sort of there. The slog will have been done, the 16-hour days, the sleepless nights. It sort of changes things when you're into the unknown, and we've got your voice at the very start. Maybe when you're, shall I call it, a little bit more enthusiastic as versus running on coffee and donuts. Is that a fair way to put a garden build on what you're about to go through?
Yeah, it is a fair description. I mean, I'm kind of endlessly glass half full optimistic. I've been born that way, and I'm always powered on by like what's going to happen in the future. Let's go, which I think is great for the show garden because it gets things done. And you know, I've meticulously planned this. I think my past background as a project manager stands me in good stead. But I think when the show goes live, it's going to be a tricky subject matter because people will feel all sorts of emotions. But I think when they're looking at the garden, they're going to not only remember Diane and feel fondness in that memory, but also optimism for the future. I'm going to do my best to bring the show and keep the energy, and I can sleep as soon as breakdown's finished and recover in the weeks to come.
For those of you listening at home, the NWT Sunshine Garden, the Northwest Night Sunshine Garden, awaits you at RHS Tatton 2019. If you're stuck for any of the details on this, at Sideshow on Twitter, facebook.com/thesideshow, sideshow.com, and we'll put you directly in touch with them. Lee, I genuinely wish you all the best. It's been an absolute pleasure to speak to you. Very best wishes on the build. I look forward to hearing the public's response on seeing what I can only assume, based on your previous work, will be a wonderfully NWT Sunshine Garden. Congratulations, Lee, and best wishes again.
Thank you very much. Cheers, Peter.
chat soon, buddy. Take care.
Take care. Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.